Let's talk about dance. Tanztheater calling.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody? Yeah. It's beautiful weather.
Or maybe should I close this door?
But Carson comes back.
I hope so.
So, Julie,
yes.
Thank you for coming. I'm delighted. I'm very excited to talk with you about the restaging of the piece with the ship.
Yes.
From Pina Bausch,
yes.
From the year 1993.
Exactly. But we were making it in 92.
Look. But it was in January.
It was in January 93.
You performed it for the first time here in
Exactly. Lubata. Exactly.
So maybe, Julie, you want to tell us or me again a bit about you? A quick version, because I know yourself for such a long time with the Tanztheater. But before we go to the practical side or the procedures, how you restage the piece, mm-hmm. When did you come to the company?
I came to the company in 1986.
Here we go.
Really, those 80s.
Whoa.
I was coming quite directly from Amsterdam, where I was with the Dutch National Ballet.
Beautiful.
And doing lots of things there. But in that time, I had seen so many times the pieces of Pina, because, you know, she did an 82 waltzer in the Carré.
Amsterdam.
And then I climbed up on the balcony and looked down and watched that piece being made, because I knew how to get into the back doors of the theater, because
Very
I had
good.
Performed there so often. Therefore, I watched that and was just amazed with the cast, with the people, with how she was working. And that caused me to want to approach joining this company, Tanztheater Wuppertal, and that's what I did, and took an audition, and then I came in 86.
Beautiful. So you already made how many pieces before this production, where you were also in the original cast?
Original cast, actually all of them. I think it was like from 86 to 93,
wow.
We were all in the company, very, very active in all the pieces. Only later on did she become more selective with this year, maybe a fewer people from the group, and then the next year, then she would do the next time the people that were not in the piece before. I think quite...
So that were pieces like Victor, Palermo, but
we
also
were all
the
involved.
Movie.
We
and,
were all involved.
Yeah.
We were all involved. Unless one had a personal story or a personal necessity or was going to have a baby or something like that. And that was always recognized and respected.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So now to come back to the restaging of mm-hmm. the piece with the ship. So maybe you can tell us about a bit how you do it practically, how you work, because you do it together with...
I do it with Elena Picon and Barbara Kaufmann and I myself as a trio. That's really nice, because I think it's a huge endeavor to put this piece back on the stage. The last time it was performed was 1996 in Saitama in Japan. And therefore, we have a long time that it was never really looked at or considered. And funny enough, there are still quite a few original cast, mostly women, that...
Strong women in the company still here,
working hard.
Very good. We like that.
And loving to be here still and loving to perform.
Beautiful.
And we will be able to use that fact to help the new dancers one-on-one, maybe understand a little bit the essence, understand a little bit the background, and get quite specific into some of the choreography, some of the solos, and some of the staging of the piece. Other people will come perhaps as guests. So if we think of some original people, might be able to ask them to come back and stay 2 days here and talk directly mm-hmm. to the person that's doing their role. And give some ideas, some background, and some inspiration. It's about inspiring people who have never seen it or done it before, inspiring them to want to do it and to find also their own power within it.
And so, and then, you know, just to as an basic information, you work with the video, you work with different kind of material
mm-hmm.
to get like a particular, to learn the dances or...
Okay, let's use the example that I just did with Emma. Emma will be doing the role that I did. So
and she's with the company.
And
new,
she's with the company. I think she's been here already a few years.
Yeah.
And we sat down just the other day and I started telling her about me at that time in 1993.
How was that, Julie? How was that?
Oh,
was it a
love breakup and
Back to Future too.
Back to Future. And then I started telling her, because I have one part of the piece where I'm speaking on the ship and making a small monologue and screaming and laughing. And I told her how it came about, the actual idea. And then I told her about the book that I was inspired by for the text to even exist. And then...
Which book was it?
It was Gaston Bachelard, The Poetics of Space.
Here we go.
And I was fascinated by that, as many architects are, and therefore many goes on to theater directors and set designers, because it is a fascinating book and almost philosophical in its right. And I was studying that book, and then I started to get these ideas about a text. So that's what I did with Emma. Then I told her a little bit about how the dance I do came into being, and some of the movements, and maybe some of the sources of the movements, but I can't remember all the sources of the movements, but I can truly say that some very strong moments, I knew how it happened, that my hand was there, or my arm was there, or my foot was working like that. And then I told her about, I play the accordion in the beginning, and I had the great luck to play the accordion for Anne Martin in Victor after she left the company. And I continued my accordion studies, let's say, and I was able to offer something to Pina and do that also in the beginning of the piece, play a small moment of some chords that I think really, for me, touched my heart. Therefore, I chose those chords and Pina said, yeah, let's try that. So in explaining all of this to Emma, maybe that is an example of bringing someone closer to how things got to be. Now, I think in this whole process, our goal, or I think our collective goal with Barbara, with Elena, and with all the people that are coming to teach and to share, is to empower all the new dancers to find something of their own, and the information and inspiration from us give them an incentive to feel free and to...
So that it resonates in a way.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and so everybody is then working with different dancers, for sure, different soli or different dances?
They're working all with the different dances. So I think basically each person in the cast has a dance that they do, or a moment that they are following the original cast member. So let's say that. So we have the same amount of dancers that were originally in the piece. And they will work with that person and they will learn from that person, as I said before.
And then you put it together. When do you go on stage? I think it's still a bit critical now. It's
pretty critical. I think the premiere will be the 21st of November, the way it is now. And we all know anything can change in our times. So the flexibility to that is also part of our power.
Wonderful.
And then we'll certainly go, I think, 2 weeks before with that.
Do you remember when you went on stage the first time? Because well, I know everybody, because everybody's raving about this moment. I would like to hear something about it.
Okay, well, I just know that the set design from Dear Peter Pops, a wonderful set designer, came at the very last minute. And Pina was not sure it was going to even come at all. I think she even had some other proposals. And what if it doesn't come on the stage, this big, huge ship that's on the sand? And
so
somehow,
how big is the ship? It's like,
I don't know how many meters, but pretty big.
But it's really enormous.
It's enormous,
really filling the
and
stage.
It's there, banked on the sand, and the sand is telling you that it's not water, but it's sand. Maybe the water's nearby, underneath it, or behind it, or in front of it. Maybe the audience is the water. I don't know, but at least you feel like she's at a moment, suspended, and that's really beautiful to see. Mm-hmm. And the mast is very high. I mean, you can't even see the end of it, so you feel like it has a sense of infinity, which Pina always gave us with everything. I will add that with all my heart. So, it's massive and it's beautiful. And then to be on it, I mean, there's one moment where we do a kind of a ballet class, the little small ballet exercises on it, and you feel really like, I don't know, you feel high and you looking out over the sea of life, maybe.
And how was it to dance then, to be physically really like in relation to the sand, to the floor? I mean, I think like because your movement will change or your dialogue, let's say, how was it here?
Well, I must say up until that point in my autobiography of being in the company, I had already danced in dirt, in turf, in salt, on stones.
So you already had quite a journey.
Exactly. And then now we're at the stage of sand. And sand, well, it slows you down. At the same time, you feel your feet are in something really natural. It's different than a dance teppich, let's say, the floor that we usually have. in a small space, you can imagine that it is a beach.
But isn't it frustrating if you do your movement, or is it like?
I don't know. For me, it wasn't frustrating. For me, I attacked it. For me, I ran into it. For me, I wanted to achieve to go through it.
Yeah.
I mean, I often have danced on the beach and I've run on the beach, and it's a challenge. And at the same time, it's lovely. It's beautiful. And the sand a little bit kick up behind you, or to, if you're going to get closer to it, put your face in it. Not that it hurts your eyes, but get close to it. And we know that it's, of course, an imaginary scenography and an imaginary stage setting. And yet the element that's really honest and true and natural is something giving you, I think, consciously and unconsciously, another force, another awareness.
How was your first interaction with the ship? Like physically, or did you climb up, or how was
it? We climbed up. Of course, this is the sand, and then there's a little bit of a hill, a little bit like you could feel like it's dunes. Of course, they're hard enough so that you don't fall through all the time, but you could climb up on top of it as if it was a shipwreck in the desert, or a shipwreck on the beach, or a ship that stopped and wanted to make a moment, suspended, as I said before. Yeah. I guess I have another relationship, because as I know the piece now, having studied it to be in the rehearsal direction, not a lot of people are on the ship all the time. But in this moment where I have a small dialogue, a small monologue, I'm up and down and going up and down. And what I do notice is that the ship is tilted.
Wow.
So you are on a little bit of the decline, incline. Mm-hmm. You're not in flat ground. So that's also interesting. You feel like you're,
It's not stable.
No, it's not. So, well, it's stable in the sense, but at least you have to climb up into it. It's on an incline and you're...
Yeah. So the people who do it the first time will experience that.
Yes, they'll experience that. They'll experience the greatness of it, how big it is. They'll experience maybe, I don't know, when you're confronted with something like that, what then comes up in your own fantasy and imagination, which is fantastic. I mean, in Penis Pieces, you're able to find your own story within it. And I think that gives a lot of freedom. Nothing is said, think like this, or it was because of this. It is like an offer. It is like a chance. It's like an opportunity.
Julie, to come back a bit to the creation, can you imagine the process, or what was typical, or what comes up in your mind? How did you work?
Okay, I think that every piece of Pina, for me personally, being in the company since 86, is part of her autobiography, crossing with my autobiography, with crossing with the autobiographies of the whole company, along with what's happening in the world at the same time. And as she would present, offer, and bestow on us gorgeous questions or gorgeous ideas that were sometimes wonderfully to answer or to execute through movement, other things through your voice, other things through grabbing the whole group and presenting something all together. Yeah, this was a big part of the process at that time, as it continued to be in all the other pieces that we created together. And I can remember at that time my personal life, and that wasn't at the moment. I was having a breakup. Love.
Oh, no. Oh. Here we go. That's life.
Broken heart. So, how then can we use a broken heart or feeling like a little bit of tears? How can you dance that? How can you express things through that? Or how can you use that as an inspiration, nevertheless?
I think it's so interesting, because when you talk to and different people who have been involved, for sure, what you also said, everybody's in a different situation in their lives. So you bring actually a very big microcosmos together by just taking the situation which is there with everybody.
Sure. And I mean, let's reflect on 92, because that's when we made it. In 93, of course, it was a premiere in January. But I mean, that was a lot of things happening in the Middle East, was it not?
Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. And Madrid was before, or the Tanz am Rhein.
Things like this. And I mean, what's happening in the world that affects how we would answer a question? And even though it wasn't directly related in terms of let's talk about what happened in the news today, and yet as we are today in the situation we're in, every day you're affected by, of course, what's around you. And that's this fact that the outside world and your inner world is always having a tango, isn't it?
How can you imagine, or what do you think the ship was stranded on a beach resonates?
I want to imagine that when I see that ship stranded, I don't believe that it's going to be there to just rot away. I believe that would it rain enough? Would come Noah's Ark again? or even float away? Or would it take on a more ethereal idea and it would just get wings and fly away? I don't believe it has only a tragedy to be seen, although we can think of that too. There is melancholy in the piece. There are solos where you see the solitude of each one of us coming in and having a feeling or beginning to move and using the earth, the sand, the first plié, the first need to dive down to the earth, to reach up to the heaven. I mean, all of those beautiful poetic geometries that we see in Pina's pieces are there. But with this ship and what it has to do today, I feel we feel sometimes like we're stranded, but I think we're challenged to untie ourselves. We're challenged to find another way. We're challenged to go for the positive. We're challenged to go somewhere else in our minds and find a solution, or at least approach the idea, visualize that we could begin to think otherwise, that possibility exists, absolutely.
Isn't it interesting to see it from inside when you danced and then to watch it from outside? Is it a different piece then for you?
Let's say we're still in the beginning process, so okay. I haven't seen it yet in its real first episode of seeing it from the front on the stage. But watching the videos and getting prepared for teaching the others and sharing what the piece is, yeah, I think I'm touched as what I said before. I think the singularity that still is demanding us to be aware of how we're connected. I know that sounds a bit general and maybe a little bit like, let's think positive, but it's really true. I think each melancholy or each moment of solitude brings us in the awareness of how much we share all together.
Do you think there is an utopian society on the stage when you do it together?
I think the movement brings us together. I think that the ideas that Pina offered us, or how groups of singular moments become a little bit more climax, we join together with a common breath, with a common energy to keep going. The music is also a contribution to that. The way the piece builds, or the way the moments, the different scenes build up when it is a group scene, is particularly the moment where the men are dancing and then the women come in and then we help each other to move forward, something like that. Through movement, there's a lot told. Yeah, I think there's a lot of messages just in the movements and the actions we're doing.
How do you connect to the audience then?
Well, I'm very specifically, I can answer that because I am in a definite dialogue when I'm on the ship and I make this monologue, which is then based on this fantastic book from Gaston Bachelard, from the Poetics of Space. And I don't know if it relates to the space of the ship on a beach or something like that, but it was just a moment in the Lichtburg where we did the creation and this, what Pina then, of course, in all of her pieces, she took maybe a moment that she particularly wanted and then was able to transport it on the stage, and then it became an element in the piece. So there I feel a complete interaction with the audience because I'm literally speaking to the audience or speaking out and asking, do you feel the way I do? Or is this idea, maybe I'm not going to give away all the text.
No, you shouldn't.
I shouldn't do that,
you shouldn't do that.
Okay.
Everybody has to come to Wuppertal.
Yeah, everybody has to come to Wuppertal. I can give one little clue. If I came out and just said, a fish without water.
Here we go.
Did you get it? I don't know if you cry. I don't know if you laugh. I don't know if you think it's my problem or what is she saying? Or is that something cynical? And what is cynicism in our society? How does that work?
Do you like to work with text in Pina's pieces?
Yes, very much. Very much. I had the chance to do that often, and that's good from the first minute, let's say.
And what's then different to work with, or in comparison to movement?
Well, both. I mean, movement, for sure, of course, to the max. Yeah, but I feel like, of course, the voice is a dance as well as the movement is a speech.
Yeah.
A speech of movement, a dance of words. And I think what we're moved by or what we're challenged by can come through words. Although Pina was not always, I can remember so many times, she says, okay, not with words, let's take down our necessity to speak or dialogue, monologue too much. Nevertheless, in all the pieces there is very often moments of monologue or dialogue. And we do know that in the pieces the movement is before and after and around it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So therefore, it was never just straight.
No, and it's complex text, because so many other elements influence and then it's forming something completely different.
Yeah. So could it be that a text would be then the red carpet for mm-hmm. movement to arise.
Yeah, beautiful.
Could it be that after someone has moved in such a way or left a color, a form, a contour in the space, that a text would come and pick up on what that was able for a text to arrive, let's say. I love that idea of my own way of looking at that and how the transitions melt into another. Mm-hmm. And to go into, well, why did that come before that? And why does that go after that? We can do that, but we can also just sit there and see what you feel. And it's always not always what's said, because maybe we didn't understand the language of that Spanish or that French or that English, or maybe you're not even German and you're sitting in the public, but you are left with a feeling. So even if someone says something, as well as when someone dances, it's how you feel.
But why do you think this longing is so universal?
Because every single piece we made, she asked the word Sehnsucht. And this word is fantastic.
Longing,
yearning, yeah. Wanting, wishing, hoping, nostalgia. So dodgy. Wow, where is our longing as human beings? Where is your Sehnsucht? Where is it? What is it every day? And everyone has that somehow. If it's just to arrive, if it's just to wake up, if it's just to make the phone call. It's just to get to the forest in time before the leaves start to move. We all have it. And that's so beautiful if I think of why I'm still here or why the work is so meaningful to me and how it's touched me so deeply. It's this consideration, it's this thought, it's this that always resonates within me. The echo is always there.
What will be the biggest challenge for the restaging?
I think it's to pull out the potential of dancers that have such a big desire to maybe do it right and to touch something authentic, and to pull out that potential that it stays in a purity and stays natural and stays wonderful for them. And then they can shine, and then they can radiate. Then they can funkel, they can sparkle. And I wouldn't want that the rehearsals or the grudging process of trying to do it like before. You see, I said shine.
And this was the sparkle from the universe.
Exactly.
This was the sparkle from the, and it was not even an iPhone, but it was a sparkle from the universe.
Yes. So to move onward, but the challenge would be that the process wouldn't become grudging or would become too technical. There needs to be freedom there, and there needs to be wonder.
And do you
keep them wondering and keep the process with a lot of freshness?
Do you think that they're sharing this kind of longing together, or is it just an assumption?
Well, I think it depends on how all of the things are transmitted. And I think, I mean, all of the dancers that I think I've ever worked with, Pina, they all know what this longing is. And they know how to describe a movement, and they know how to describe, like, reach your arm and then reach it up like it's going in infinity. I mean, we know the words we use, whatever language we use, and questioning of, do we ever arrive and yet we still try? I think that will be within everybody. So therefore, I feel like there's a huge chance and a huge possibility and a huge potential.
Maybe as the last question also for the sparkling. What would you wish yourself or you as a group for the process?
I don't think it's weak to say I want everyone to have fun. I begin with, I don't think it's weak, because let's have fun. I mean, we can take that lightly. We can take that sincerely. We can take that to the depths. Let's feel inspired. I don't know, each day we come and you, if you work on a dance as a new dancer, or if you work on a text, or if you, for Emma, puts the accordion in her hands for the first time, that it can be wonderful. And I will look for harmony, of course. And we look for the chance to, in every critical moment, find a great solution and enjoy that big ship and enjoy that wonderful sand. And there'll be a moment, perhaps, when it gets a little bit wet. And there'll be a moment when our hearts are beating faster. And this beautiful music to want to listen to again every day and come in and dance to it and become it.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
It was lovely.